I suppose my three questions is, where is the scholarship in terms of the temporal framing, the spatial framing, but also the methodological framing?
I think maybe dealing with the temporal aspect, I sometimes start with a nice note from Archbishop Desmond Tutu when the World Cup was in South Africa, and in his own very distinguished way sort of welcomed everybody back home, and this sort of idea that, you know, everyone started in Africa and now they're coming back as fans, and that, you know, that is the history of humankind, as the history of movement. That's what humans do. And what is unusual over the last 100 years is trying to stop that movement, largely without, you know, causing a lot of misery, but not much success. So that this is not a recent phenomenon. It goes back to the very beginning of what we are finding out through science increasingly now, is just that diversity of migration from very early sort of humanoid development from all parts of the world. And that picture becomes ever more richer. So this is not new, and it certainly, if we move then to Britain, it's not new either. I think at best, in sort of early sort of imperial style history, you had an acceptance that there were the English, and then you might have had the Normans and a few invasions, but then it stopped. You know, and then for, you know, for over 1,000 years, you've had no movement, and that's a sort of nonsense. And so I think to undermine the idea that you've got true Britons and you've got incomers, interlopers, to show that it's part of a pattern. And I think that's one of the, you know, I can understand the political use of the idea of this Windrush generation and celebrating that movement. But it does disguise earlier Black settlement. And we mentioned Peter Fryer taking it back to Roman times, but right through periods. Also, I think being honest and self-critical enough to talk about moments where Black people aren't here in large numbers, and this is not accidental. The nature of the slave trade, triangular slave trade, means that you won't get very many Black people because they're being imported elsewhere from Africa, and Britain is rarely part of that, in terms of, not in terms of the wealth creation, but in terms of the presence of people. Likewise, we need to accept that there is, you know, a Jewish presence in Britain for a very long time, but also a period of some 300-400 years where the Jews are expelled and not allowed back in. So-called tolerant Britain has a tradition of expelling and removing migrants who are and people of migrant origin who are not seen to belong. So we shouldn't rely on its inherent decency, because there are times where it's anything but. The German population, for example, before 1914 was rich, varied, and quite numerous, and that community or set of communities were wiped out in the German hatred of the First World War. So that's the temporal aspect. And I think historians have been slow on the uptake of that. And particularly, I think if you look at the refugee history or refugee studies, it's almost been ignored by historians. I think it's perhaps too messy. It doesn't fit into the nation state at all. Whereas you could have a model where certain migrant groups come into the nation and then, you know, are sort of accepted. It's not how it works. There's, migration is rarely A to B. It's often back, and it's onwards to other places, and constantly in flux. But refugees really don't fit that very neatly at all. And refugee studies has been dominated by law, to extent politics, anthropology. It's only recently that a group of historians, amongst myself, who try to sort of make this part of refugee studies, but also try and influence history as a profession. Now, you know, sources are sometimes problematic. People on, particularly forced migrants without paperwork or whatever, leave only traces of records behind. So it's tough doing refugee history. You've got to look for those echoes and traces. In terms of geographies, again, I think, and methodologies, I think one thing that is bringing all these different disciplines together, certainly literary studies, cultural studies, representations, is looking at the individual, sort of storytelling in different forms, whether it be through fiction, through film, or through autobiographical writing of some sort or other. And I think that proves to be very, very engaging for students at all levels. That if you don't have people of that background in your class, it's still possible to engage with them through their writing and sort of autobiographical practice. And I think that's certainly, I think, where sort of the cutting edge of scholarship would coincide with what will be appropriate and inspiring at a school classroom level.